Amen. Glory. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, the second chapter of the book of Luke. And we'll flip back one page and read a couple of verses from the first chapter. We are celebrating, of course, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon this earth. It was at the beginning with Him. We understand that He was before the world. In the beginning, God, the Creator. And then that verse of Genesis says, "Then the light shined, He was the light." It's told to us in the Gospel of John. But then the book of Luke, chapter 1, reading a couple of verses. Remember, we looked recently that Zacharias, the priest, had seen an angel. He was carrying out his duties, and an angel appeared to him. Now, the angel told him he was going to have a son in his old age, he and Elizabeth, and that was John. John was going to be the forerunner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I'm interested in what the angel, in part, told him in verse 14. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." My eyes kept lighting upon that word, joy and gladness. Shall have joy and gladness at the birth of John. Now, John, of course, was going to be the forerunner, the one that was going to introduce Jesus to this world. And the angel was telling Zacharias that you will have joy and gladness. So I want to look this morning. The Lord has come. John did go out and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, he was out there, and the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and Jesus said, "I have need to be baptized." And John, of course, "No, I'm the one that needs to be baptized. If you're, I'm not worthy." But then as he was being baptized, he saw the dove come and sit on his shoulder, and he realized that was the Son of God. And then we are supposed to have, as the people that rejoiced around John, joy and gladness in this Christmas season. The world says they have joy and gladness, but without Christ, we cannot have joy and gladness. But because of Jesus Christ and his birth, because of his life, his death, his shedding of his blood, we can have redemption through that shed blood. I don't know of any clearer picture than is taught in the next chapter, chapter 2, just a simple little verse. Remember, Simeon now has been led by the Holy Ghost. Of course, that's not new for him. He just loved to hang around the temple and the things of God. And if you and I do love and want to stay around the things of God, it will be fulfilled, and we will have that joy and gladness as Simeon did. We looked at this in part last Sunday, but in the 25th verse of chapter 2 of the book of Luke. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now letteth thy servant depart in peace according to thy word.'" I want to concentrate on the next three verses. "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Salvation. Salvation that God wrought through his Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate that birth. But I want to look at what that birth means. The word light, my eyes could not leave that. Sometimes when you're reading the Word of God, I'm reading the Word of God, and you read it before, and then There's something about that word Latin I've never seen, never just read right over it. And when you hear the word Latin, you think, well, we know Jesus was the light of the world, but it means more than that. Jesus was the light, the true light, sent from God to light every man. We were in darkness. The whole world was in darkness, we're told, when Jesus came, but he was the great light. But the word means more than that. The word in the Greek means to lay bare, to make naked, to disclose the truth and instructions. I want to deal with that, and the title of the message this morning is Disclosing the Truth, to bring out the truth through instruction. That's what that word means. Because you see, we were all, three things I want to look at this morning regarding that. Bring salvation, because we were lost. We were born that way. I don't care who your parents were. Great parents, I had them. You probably did too. Great grandparents, wonderful. But we were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. We were in darkness, remember? But the Simeon, the gospel, the Holy Ghost told Simeon to write these words, to speak these words, and it was disclosed to us that the disclosure that we were naked before God. Our flesh was enmity against God. We were alienated from God. But God came and sent his son, and by his birth, and by the instructions and the disclosure of the birth of Jesus Christ, his life, that he, in fact, was God in the flesh. He lived and died in this world, but he arose, ascended to glory. And because of that, he sent salvation. That salvation comes only through his burial. Turn your Bibles, please, for one verse in Ephesians. We're told about that. Remember, he's going to disclose to us the truth and the instructions about where we were when Jesus came. And had he not come, and had he not come in the form of a babe whose father was God, whose mother, of course, was Mary in the lineage of Abram. But now we know that we have life. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, to whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We have redemption. The first thing I want to look at is because we were in darkness, we were alienated against God, we had to have forgiveness. And there's no other way we can have forgiveness or even know that we need forgiveness until he discloses the truth about our being naked before God. Lay bare is what it means. We were just bare. God sees us like we are. We see ourselves. We dress up a little bit for Christmas. That's great. But God sees your heart. He knows every one of us this morning. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. And when we were born, shaping iniquity, a little baby also, and that baby, when it comes to the age of accountability, however, what age that is, I was 12, been in church all my life, and I don't know why God waited till I was 12 years old. Some children get saved at 5, 6, 7. That's wonderful. But I've been in church all my life and heard the gospel, but I was laid bare and made naked in my sight when I was 12 years old, when the Lord revealed to me and disclosed to me that I needed the Savior and I need to be forgiven. And remember, the first thing he told about Simeon was thy salvation. And since he made me see myself as I was, naked before God and sin, it wasn't a pretty picture. But he also brought salvation. So the first thing that we need when we're made bare and we're laid naked, we need to be disclosed the fact that we need forgiveness. Every one of us had to have forgiveness. We can forgive one another, and we need to do that, but that won't get you to heaven. The only way we're going to have a trip to heaven when we die, we're going to have salvation from him. Simeon said that, thy salvation imparted to us. How will we get it? Instructions disclosing the truth that you and I have to have somebody forgive us. There was no one worthy. God himself would have to send his son. He would have to be made in the likeness of man, live a perfect life without sin. There was several years ago, when maybe 50 years ago, still maybe out there today, people saying, could Jesus have sinned? Of course he could not sin. He was God. God cannot do anything but wrath. He's done wrath. He is doing right. He will always do right because he's God. And so we had to have someone forgive us, and that had to be the Christ child. And we don't see that as we see the Christ child, just that innocent little baby in the manger. But then as he grows in the maturity, he's found in the temple. He's always out there telling the priest and the other people about the things of God. After all, the person that writes a book, the person that has full knowledge of the truth, is Jesus. Remember, a disclosure of the word Latin of Gentiles. You and I were Gentiles. We were outcasts. We were against God. We were not even counted worthy to be brought into the threshold of God. But through the birth and through the salvation that he was going to give you and I, only after he showed us, disclosed to us, that we were sinners. And that word sinner means against God. The salvation that only he can give. His salvation. Thy salvation, he said. Remember when David sinned? And David had lied and he had had a relationship with Bathsheba. And then he even had her husband Uriah killed. And then the prophet of old came and pointed his finger at him and says, you're the man. And the scripture says, returning to him his salvation. You see, it's God's salvation. I'm so thankful God doesn't allow you and I to keep our salvation. I'm saved, eternally saved. But the keeper of our salvation is kept, we're told in 1 Peter, in the vaults of heaven. Kept by the power of God. See, I don't know if you're like me, but I lose about everything I put my hands on. But I always know where to find it, right where I left it. If I can just remember where I left it, that's what it's going to be. So I'm continually losing my phone, my keys, just countless things. And if you and I had charge of our salvation, we'd probably lose it too. But we don't have charge of it. It's kept in heaven by the power of God, ready to be revealed. Because he's talking about, Simeon says, the Christ child, who he was led to the temple by the Holy Ghost at the right time when Jesus comes, 8 days old, to be circumcised, to be presented. Oh, he's God. He came according to the law, remember? And he fulfilled the law. And now the salvation has been revealed, first of all, that we must have forgiveness. And the next thing that happens after we receive that forgiveness, we can have what the scripture said and what the angel told Zechariah that he was going to have through the birth of his son John. Joy and gladness. You know what happens when you get salvation? If you've experienced salvation, we all have the same thing. We have the joy of the Lord. Can you remember? Whether you were 7 or 70 when you got saved and you realized, if you didn't realize you had to be forgiven, then you couldn't get saved. He has to lay bare, and he has to make naked and disclose to each individual, the Holy Spirit does that, that we need a Savior. And then he has to show us that Christ is the Savior. And he even has to show us how to believe in their heart. Believe in thy heart and I shall be saved. I don't know how to tell you. I didn't even know myself. Nobody knows how to believe in your heart. Believe in your head. We're taught that. But the Holy Spirit illuminates and shows us his salvation, thy salvation. Why? Because he lays us bare and he discloses the truth. That's called conviction. And once he does that and we see that we need to be forgiven, he reveals to us the forgiver, the Christ child, the one was in the manger, still as much God as he was in heaven. And then he grew and he shed that precious blood. But then after we have that forgiveness of our sins, we receive the fullness of his salvation. It's instant. When you get saved, he just writes your name. How long does it take him to record your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Any one of us could sign their name in just a few seconds. Well, he instantly records our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it's a finished job when he does it. No one can get there because, remember, it's kept by the power of God. A lot of people say, well, you could lose your salvation. If you gave yourself salvation, of course you could. But since we had no part in giving it to us, it was all him laying us bare, revealing to us, giving us instruction, disclosing to us. Only he could do that. Why we need to be saved? Because we're full of mistakes, and we're full of sin, and that precious blood, it covers all the sin questions. Write your name instantly in the Lamb's Book of Life. Remember what Jesus prayed before he was crucified? He says, Father, I pray that all you give me will be in your hand. Now, you try to pluck something out of God's hand if you want to. It's not going to happen. And we are in the Father, all except the Son of Perdition, which is Jesus' Iscariot, of course, a devil from the beginning. But he prayed in the people I talk to that believe you can lose your salvation say, will you believe Jesus got all his prayers answered? Well, they'll have to say, yes, he did. Well, he prayed that none would be lost. If you ever got in his hand, if he put you in his hand, then Jesus said you had to remain there. You think God heard that prayer? Of course he did. I didn't mean to go this way, but someone needed to hear that. God makes things complete. Never has made a mistake. He didn't make a mistake when he came to Simeon, the Holy Ghost, and led him to the temple. He said, before you die, you're going to see the Christ child. And he did. If God declares something in his word, through his word to you and I, it's a done deal. But we have to accept it, remember. It was revealed, disclosed to us, because he laid us naked in our minds, and he showed us that we had to have salvation because we had to have forgiveness. And then when we receive that salvation, a gift, it's Christmas time. And I don't know when the tradition started. Maybe it started when Jesus was born. He was a gift sent from God to this world. And I hope that's why you and I do it, that we give gifts. Partly because we love one another wonderfully, but we give it because he gave us the greatest gift of all. But if someone gives you a gift, would you say, I don't want that? It'd hurt their feelings, wouldn't it? Why would we refuse the greatest gift ever given in the history of the world that God gave his son? Not only forgive our sins, but fulfill the joy and gladness that only he can give. I want to ask you a question today. It's Christmas season. We have a lot of commercialism, no doubt. All of us are caught up in that. You don't have time to do all you want to do. In fact, we won't get done what we'd like to do. But the one thing we can't forget, do you have the joy and the gladness that he alone can give? Now, you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your joy and gladness. David lost his joy because he sinned. But then he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Simeon says, thy salvation. And even David declared, restore unto me the joy of that. It's God's salvation imparted to us. We had no part of it. We just received it. And the results of that reception and that gift was joy and gladness. And this verse, again, that we read in Ephesians, let's read it one more time, chapter 1, verse 7, one of the greatest verses in the Word of God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we receive that, we have joy and gladness. But then after we have the fullness of his salvation, name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, we belong to him, we're his child. But then we come in contact with other people. And we've all noticed that some people don't always treat us right. We don't know if it was malicious. Sometimes it might be. But whatever, we receive bad treatment. Someone hurt us. That means we're wounded and we're full. We're saved, all right. But we're full of wrath and we're full of bitterness. And we're supposed to have the joy and the gladness, remember? But then the devil realizes that the joy and the gladness can be pushed aside by someone's actions. And the action is not what does it at all. It's our reactions to their actions. And that fills us full of bitterness, jealousy, and whatever. And you and I need to learn how to forgive as he forgave us. Because if we don't forgive others as Christ forgave us, there can be no joy and gladness. That means that every time, and it gets worse. You know, sometimes if you're really enjoying the blessings of God, a good service like we're having this morning, and God's coming in, he's giving us joy and gladness. And people can say hurtful things to one another when you have that joy and gladness, and it kind of bounces off, you know, like water on a duck's back. But then if you let that root of bitterness dwell in your heart, the next time they say something, it doesn't take nearly as much to get you ill or to get you full of yourself again. And then if somebody else comes along and you're already full of that bitterness without your forgiveness, then it doesn't take much at all. And you can put on the smile, and but the joy and gladness isn't there. And the Lord sent this message. I didn't want to preach this message. I had another message I wanted to preach, but the Lord said, no, the fullness of salvation. Now, it's not that you're not saved, but it's more than just being saved, remember. We're not home yet. Once I die, I'll be home with him. But hopefully, most of us have a few more days of living to do. And he wants us to have the fullness and the finality of the fact that our salvation is kept by God. That's fine. But we're to have the joy and the gladness. Like the angel Gabriel told Zacharias that he was going to have, because John the Baptist was going to be born and because he was going to introduce Jesus. We got joy and gladness. That means things won't always go right. In fact, they'll go more wrong sometimes than right. Particularly the rush Christmas season. We all have appointments. We have this and we have that. But I'm telling you, one thing that can hinder and get rid of that joy and gladness and push it way back is unforgiven spirit. Now remember, the word Latin means to lay bare, to make naked. And he did that at salvation. But he also, remember the word Latin and Gentiles, that doesn't mean just a one-time deal. The continually laid bare and made naked before him, because he sees us like we are. We're all just made naked and laid bare. But remember, it also means a disclosure of the truth with instructions what to do. So I'm telling you that we have to forgive others as Christ forgave us. You may smile, but it doesn't get rid of it. The only way to get rid of the ill feelings and the hurt and all the things people's done to you, and to make sure it can be fully appreciated, is to forgive. He'll help you do that. We don't within ourselves have the ability to forgive. We say we do. But remember, when he forgave us, it was final, it was full, it was complete. He laid us bare, he made us naked. He disclosed to us the truth about forgiveness. And the truth about forgiveness is not only he forgave us, but we must forgive one another. If we don't, he won't hear our prayers. Now, every one of us here, if you're saved, you know you have to have your prayers heard. It's not that he doesn't hear them, but he won't regard them. And he will not answer them. Now, remember I said, if he said it in his word, if he said he'd save you, he will. If he said he'd forgive your sins, not only he will, he has, but at the same time, he told us he would not regard nor answer our prayers if we do not forgive others as he forgave us. And that's a Christmas message. Would you stand? Your heads are bowed. Holly, would you come back, please, and play that last song that you and Ms. Brenda and Ray played? It is well. It is well. One of the greatest songs to me, the greatest song ever written. Because it reveals to me, it's not well in Wall Street. It may be increasing, but it's not well. It's not well in the economy. It's not well in the White House or the Congress. It's not well in most places, but it doesn't matter. Is it well? Is it well with your soul? It cannot be, even though you may be saved, until you are willing to forgive others. Remember, he lightens the Gentiles, not just a one-time deal. Continually make naked, lay bare, discloses the truth. And the truth is, if we regard iniquity and hurt and unforgiveness in their heart, he will not give you peace and joy. You may have it as the songs are sung, but you won't go home with it. It's only skin deep, and that's not very deep. But as they play this beautiful song again, remember the words, it is well. But the question is it well with my soul? If it's not, hindering cause. You say, what did they wrong? Go back to when you had ill will with someone and you didn't forgive them. And when you forgive others, the joy will come back. Truly forgive. Your heads are bowed. Altar's open. Would you play? Thank you. before we're dismissed, most of the message was about those of us that saved for us forgiving others. But remember, if you're not saved, you'll never have the peace and joy. One more verse they're going to play. If you haven't been saved and you haven't received his forgiveness full and free, not only is it full, it is free. He paid the price. He came to this world. One more verse, would you come? Give your life and your heart to Jesus. Salvation. He sees you as you are. You may say, I'm saved. He sees, remember, Latin, the Gentiles, disclose, lay naked. He sees us as we are. One more verse. Amen. Miss Holler, we have enjoyed that so much. I can't play any musical instrument, but if I could, it would be the trumpet. And we appreciate that so much. Tonight, the Edwards family is going to be with us. A wonderful group. A lot of their songs are on the radio. And Brother Adam Edwards will be preaching after that. It'll be a wonderful service. Please come and bring someone with you. Brother Gunn, if you'll come up here and dismiss us, my brother. All the visitors, again, we're so delighted to have you. And if you will come back, if God sends you this way to unite with our church, we sure would appreciate that. The new membership committee is going to be standing here as you leave, if God puts on your heart, to unite with the church by baptism, by letter, by statement that you have been saved, baptized. I'll be glad to talk to you and make it so easy. Thank you for coming.
Just a quick announcement before we dismiss this morning. Many and most of you have picked up your Christmas cards in the vestibule, but they went and through and resorted and restacked. So you may have some that are out there that you haven't picked up. So look at those before you leave. And if you have some neighbors, you know, is shut in, that their cards are out there, let's pick those up and deliver them to them. So God's been good to us, and we thank him for that. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we want to thank you this morning for your mercy, for your grace. We want to thank you, Lord, for the message, Lord, and thank you for forgiving us of our sins, past, present, and future. Thank you, Lord, that you've humbled yourself. You came obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Father, you came and you robed yourself in flesh for sinful man. God, we thank you for that this Christmas season. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for this good congregation, these people here. And Lord, you know the needs of the congregation. I pray that you'd meet those needs according to your riches and glory by your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Father, for all you've done this past year. In Jesus' name we pray.